Bottom of page 85. Bottom of page 85. We got 35 minutes. Gotta go. Second to last paragraph on page 85 says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. All knowledge and power. So that leads me to the conclusion that I have none except what I am given. Because He has all knowledge and all power, which means I have none. Right? He has all, I have none, except what I am given by Him. It goes on to say, listen to this, here's an important sentence. If, what kind of word is if? It's a conditional word, right? If we have carefully followed directions, everybody underline that. We have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. Let's stop right there for a minute. If we have carefully followed directions, not suggestions, right? Directions. I think that's interesting, number one. Number two, I would hate to get to this point and say to myself, boy, I haven't carefully followed the directions, right? And here's how you know if you've carefully followed the directions. Have you begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into you by the time you've reached step 10? Have you become God conscious? Have you begun to develop this vital sixth sense, this idea of having this intuition where we'll intuitively know? If you could say yes, then you've probably carefully followed directions. If you have not had that experience, then you ought to think about how carefully you followed the directions up to this point in the book. Okay? And that's why I always take the guys that I sponsor right through the book. That way we know we've met every condition, we followed every direction. Right? There is no if, ands, or buts about it. Okay? It goes on to say, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men and women than we are using it constantly. Everybody circle that word constantly again. That's the second time we've seen it, right? We're going to come back to that in a minute. It works, that's a promise. If we have the proper attitude, that's a condition, and work at it, that's a direction. Okay, everybody see that? Promise, condition, direction. It works, that's a promise. If we have the proper attitude, that's the condition. I have to have the proper attitude as I approach prayer and meditation, and work at it. That's a direction. I must work at it. Okay? And for me, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I don't know about anybody else here, you know, you talk about prayer and meditation, that's a little eerie, you know? Because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, when I'm alone for too long, I get a little suicidal. You know what I mean? I don't do well alone. My sponsor once told me, when I'm like up here, I'm behind enemy lines. You know what I mean? And that really was true for me for a long time. It's not true for me today, but that was true for me for a long time. Okay? And so I must continue to work at prayer and meditation and have the proper attitude. Now, I want to read you something real quick out of Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. It was informed to me by my friend Nancy O. Nancy got sober in 1943 in New York. Dr. Silkworth was her doctor, okay? She would spend many, many nights at Bill Wilson and Lois Wilson's house, okay? She was one of the original members of the New York group. She died with 57 years of continuous sobriety. And she said that when she came in 1943, the first thing that they did was they gave her the big book, told her to read it, and they put her on the 11th step, okay, which we're going to go over here, what she called the 24-hour program, okay? And at the top of page 86 there, if you don't have it already in your book because you've been to this workshop, write 24-hour program, okay? Because this is what page 86, 87, and the little bit on page 88 is called, okay? And I want to read this here from page 83 in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. It talks about this 24-hour program. It says, Bill D., who is AA number 3, okay, AA number 3, whose complete story is in the book Alcoholics Anonymous, recalled his own sense of hopelessness and despair before his visit from Dr. Bob and Bill. Okay? And then it talks about what they told Bill D. about on their first visit. Okay? It says, there was an identification with them, followed by the surrendering of his will to God. What step is that? Step three, right? The making of a moral inventory, step four. Then he was told about the first drink, the 24-hour program, and the fact that alcoholism was an incurable disease. All of the basics of our program have not changed to this day. Goes on to say on page 136 something very interesting. It says, AA members of that time did not consider meetings as necessary to maintain sobriety. They were simply desirable. However, morning devotion and quiet time were musts. Okay? Which is what we're going to get into here. So, isn't that kind of interesting? That back in Dr. Bob's day, they didn't consider meetings as necessary to maintain sobriety. Okay? Now remember, we talked about this when we went through in an earlier session, that back in the old days of our program, there were only three meetings in the world. Okay? So to go to 90 meetings, it would take you 2 years and 6 months. Right? If you hit every single one, and that's a long commute from Akron to New York City to go to the meeting. Okay? You see, they were staying sober by applying the principles of the program and working with new people. That's how they were staying sober. Now, I think it's great that we have over 500 meetings in our area to go to every week. Okay? But what happens is sometimes by this process of substitution, some people have gotten the idea that all we have to do in AA is go to meetings. And we don't need to do all this stuff, right? And they're missing the whole point. Okay? So, now what they're going to do is they're going to make some... Now, remember, when Bill wrote this, he was not a spiritual giant. Okay? And so he wasn't an expert on prayer and meditation. So what he's going to do is he's going to give us what he calls some definite and valuable suggestions. Okay? And I'm here to tell you, based on my own experience, that if you will apply these principles that he's going to talk about in your own life, you will develop your own personal life of prayer and meditation. Okay? And that has been absolutely true for me. Okay? Now, our book has already talked about in several places this idea of prayer and meditation. Okay? Keep your finger right there for a second and turn to page 13, because I want you to see how important this is. Okay? Because I'm of the belief that if the book says something once, it's important. If it says something twice, it's really important. And if it says something more than three times, it's got to be really, really important. Okay? Page 13. This idea of prayer and meditation. Second to last paragraph. I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Turn to page 69. Bottom of the page, jump up about six lines. Two, four, five lines. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. Everybody see that? Page 83. If I'm going too fast, just tell me to slow down. Page 83. I'll wait for you to get there. Page 83, top of the page we'll start at the top of the page. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead and we must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fit the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, meaning that after I've completed the ninth step, I now see the past differently than I did going into the fourth step, right? You see, I went in believing I'm the victim. I come out understanding that I'm the perpetrator, remember? It says, being careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring. That's a promise. But the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. That's a promise, too. So we clean house with the family. Here it comes. Asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Okay, we're going to hit one more here. We're going to go to page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. Whoa, what a promise that is. I'm here to tell you, I used to think I knew a lot. It is amazing to me how the longer I'm sober, the littler I know, you know? And I realize I know only a little. It says, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who's still sick. Back on page 85 and 8, or 86 and 87. Ask Him each morning in your meditation what you can do. So I think this idea of prayer and meditation runs throughout our text, doesn't it? Okay? That's the point I want everybody to see. It's not just mentioned once. It's mentioned again and again and again and again. Okay? And Bill says here what he's going to do is he's going to start by taking us to bed at night. Okay? And when I get a new guy, I put him right on step 11 right away. Or if I get somebody who's been around for a while and they're off in left field somewhere, I put them right back in step 11. And the reason I do is because it will get me situated and keep me stabilized until I can get through the process. Okay? So, and that's no different than what my friend Nancy said they were doing with her in 1943. Okay? It's no different than what Bill and Dr. Bob talked to Bill Dodson about. Okay? They got him right on this 24-hour program right away. So let's see if we can see here 4 through 9 one more time when we retire. We know we already saw it in step 10, okay? But let's see if we could see it one more time in step 11 here as we go to bed. And my friend Ben here, Vanna, is going to hand out the handout. By the way, his name's not really Vanna. I know that shocks most of you who've come to know him as Vanna. That's Ben, and Ben is relatively new. And so if you don't know Ben, Ben's actually completed his inventory today, so we got to make an appointment to do his fifth step. And so if you don't know Ben, please introduce yourself because he needs lots and lots of friends in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Lots and lots of friends, right? That's good. And see, he's in service, so he's probably going to stay sober today. That's good. That's a good thing. But he's handing out this handout, which we're going to go over in a second. So back in the big book on page 86, it says, when we retire at night, everybody with me? We constructively review our day. Not destructively. I constructively review my day. It says, were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Where do we look for that? In step what? Step 4, right? Step 4? Sounds like step 4, the end of the day. Do I owe an apology? Sounds like step 9 a little bit, doesn't it, right? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? That's a little bit like step 5, isn't it, right? And see, I'm in a fortunate situation. My wife is a member of our fellowship, right? And so if I have something that I've kept to myself that I need to discuss with another person at once, I'm in a fortuitous situation and I can just roll over and say, honey, there's something I need to talk to you about. You know, not everybody is in that situation. Okay, but guess what? I have a cell phone and the people that I sponsor know they can call me anytime, morning, noon, or night, or 3 o'clock in the morning. You call me at 3 a.m. See if I pick up my phone. Okay, and the people that I sponsor will tell you that I do. Okay, and if I don't pick it up right away, I'll call you back. Okay. Because that's what I believe sponsorship is all about. Okay? It's about that I make a commitment to them like they made a commitment to me. Right? We'll get to that next week. It goes on to say, were we kind and loving towards all, not some? Right? Everybody underline that. Towards all. See, I don't mind being kind and loving towards some. Right? But I have to be kind and loving towards especially the people who piss me off. Right? The people who cut me off on the freeway, right? The people who flip me off in traffic, right? I got to be kind and loving towards those people, right? But I'll tell you an interesting thing, and I talked about it in the four step, you know, is the more I'm kind and loving towards them, the more I have kindness and lovingness in my heart, you know? And you reach a point, I've reached a point where I don't even think about flipping them off anymore, you know? I say a little prayer for those people, you know? I really do. You know, that didn't happen all at once. I continue to improve by practice. I had a sponsor who took a word from step 10, a word from step 11, and a word from step 12, and he made a sentence. I continue to improve by practice. And really, for me, that's a good indicator of what steps 10, 11, and 12 are. I continue to improve by practice. All right, it goes on to say, were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others, which is the key to this whole thing. It says, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken, right? So the whole idea here is I use what I've learned from today to hopefully not do the same thing I did today tomorrow, right? As I told you, you know, I mean, we all go through relationship trouble. And I'm not going to talk about that this week. I'll talk about that next week. But, you know, one of the things that my sponsor had me practice was stop being an asshole. Real spiritual, right? You know, stop being an asshole to your wife, you know? And that was, like, really profound for me, you know what I mean? I mean, wow, what a concept, you know? But it's interesting, when I stop doing those things, when I start doing some simple things, and I learn that, hey, you know what? I was an asshole today. You know, I'm going to try to not do that tomorrow, and maybe we'll see if things get better, how much better things get, right? How if I stop being insecure, right, and I stop acting that way, right, how much different my life becomes. How if I stop being just downright mean and self-centered, right, and I act better than I feel, how much better my life becomes, right? And that's been the truth for me, right? And it hasn't been because I want to be a great guy. It's been because of painful experience doing it the wrong way. Right? My sobriety has been a lesson in doing it the wrong way. Right? And when you do it the wrong way enough, you gain experience. Right? And when you gain experience, you gain wisdom. Right? And hopefully I've gained just a little bit of wisdom as a result of doing this. All right. So I say a prayer. I ask God what corrective measures should be taken. And I go to sleep. Right? And I'll tell you something. It's never ceased to amaze me how I'll say the prayer, God, show me what I should do about this situation that's going on. And like, I'll be driving to work the next day. And all of a sudden, the answer will come to me, right? Or somebody that I sponsor will call me on the phone and they'll say, you know, this is what I was thinking about this. I don't know why I was thinking. And there's my answer's right there, you know? And it's happened to me not once, not twice, but over and over and over again, right? All right. And then it says, on awakening. Everybody circle that. Now they're going to give us an example of the morning meditation. Oh, real quickly. This is a little thing that, and this is on the website too. By the way, the daily inventory. These are all words that came out of the big book in the 12x12. Okay? And you'll notice that on one side it says, here's my liabilities, anger, and on the other side is an opposite of that. It's calmness, right? On one side is criticizing, which I never do, but and the other side is looking for the good, right? I'm only kidding. On one side is dishonesty, and the opposite of that would be honesty. Okay. Now, there are a couple of ways you can do this, by the way. Okay. And I don't think that you need... I had one guy that I sponsored, he laminated this, right? So he could just kind of run down this checklist every day. Okay. Now, you could do it, say, well, was I more over here today, or was I more over here? I got real technical, right? Because I'm never on all on one side or all on the other, right? So what I did it is I said, well, today I was about 80% calm and about 20% angry, right? And I did it that way. But what I find is at the end of the day, you can tell what kind of day I've had just by looking at this, right? When I'm over here, I've had a bad day, right? And when I'm over here in the asset side of the ledger, I've had a good day, right? The whole idea here is by looking at this and identifying where I made mistakes today, hopefully I can get myself more and more over here with God's help. Does that make sense? Okay? So you can use this for whatever you want to. It's just a little helpful tool. And sometimes when I'm really screwed up and I'm like off the beam, okay, even though I know what this says and I've been through this process again and again, I will go back to physically writing it, okay? Just like this part we're reading in here in the big book, the 24-hour program, I know what it says, okay? But when I'm really screwed up and off the beam, I will go back to physically opening the book and go through the ritual of reading it, okay? Reading it out loud, reading it to myself, and doing exactly what it says to get myself back on the beam. Okay? On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin our day, we ask God to direct our thinking. Okay, let's stop right there. Notice how it says on awakening. It doesn't say after we've been up, had three cups of coffee, and combed our hair. Okay? Why? Okay, here's why. Because I am capable of making poor, life-changing decisions between the bed and the bathroom. I am, okay? And I've done it, okay? I am capable of starting my day off on the wrong foot before I even get out of bed, okay? So on awakening, I must begin my day by thinking about the 24 hours ahead, right? And it's going to give me some directions. First thing is a prayer. I ask God to direct my thinking. That's part of my prayer every day. It says, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. For under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Did everybody notice the word thinking in there a lot? You see, really, that's what this whole idea of the morning meditation and prayer time is about. It's about, if I raise my heart and my mind to God, then I will be thinking godly thoughts, right? But if I am left to self, I will continue to think of myself, right? And if I can ask God to change my thinking, then I let God direct my thinking. I don't direct my thinking, right? And when I do that, the book says that I'll be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives, right? It says, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for an inspiration, an intuitive thought, or decision. Everybody underline this next sentence. We relax and take it easy. Alcoholics are not good at that. We are not good at that. And I'll tell you why. Because here's my tendency. My tendency is to ask God for an intuitive thought or decision, wait 5 minutes, determine that He's taking too long, and begin doing what I think I should be doing. Right? Anybody here do that? Yeah. Yeah. And that's not what the book says. The book says I relax. I take it easy. I don't struggle. Right? It says we don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. Another important phrase. Doesn't happen at once. It happens after I've tried this for a while. Right? It was pointed out to me by one of my sponsors that, you know, God is not on my timetable. Okay? And the reason that God is not on my timetable is God moves very slowly because He's very old. Right? Goes on to say, we are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually, again another timetable, becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made a conscious contact with God, it is not probable we are going to be inspired at all times. We may pray for this presumption with all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Everybody underline, if you're new and you're just trying this, I have heard some of the most absurd actions and ideas you can imagine, right? So like I tell the guys and the gals that I sponsor, if you have a good idea, call me. If you have a great idea, come see me, okay? Because I had a guy I sponsored said, I was praying and meditating, God wants me to leave my wife and my kids and, you know, move to San Diego and start a new life. And I said, really? How convenient for you. I said, why don't we think about that for a little? Why don't we stop and just kind of think about it? But that's the kind of stuff that my mind is capable of telling me, right? And that's why I must have someone in my life who has an objective perception over my subjective reality. Because my mind is capable of telling me. It doesn't matter how long you've been sober. Does not matter how long you've been sober, right? I'm here to tell you, as a matter of fact, my friend Nancy O, on her 50th AA birthday, my sponsor at that time, Terry, asked her, he said, 50 years of sobriety. He said, does the chronic mind of the alcoholic, this crazy thinking, he said, does it ever go away? And she said, you're going to have to ask somebody with more sobriety than me, sonny. Right? So if that was true for her, it's got to be true for me, right? It's got to be true for me. All right, it goes on to say, nevertheless, we will find that our thinking will, as time passes, third time that they've said it, right? As time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, we come to rely upon it. And then it says, we usually conclude the period of meditation. Everybody circle that word, the, right? Not a period of meditation. The period of meditation. What period of meditation? What they have just described. You see, for some people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it says in the 12 by 12 that meditation is essentially an individual affair which each person works out for themselves. Okay? Now, I have sponsored people who have been very into Eastern religion and Eastern philosophies that are very into meditation, that'll go and sit at the ashram for 4 or 5 hours and do, you know, meditation. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. That is not my form of meditation. Okay? What they've just described, it says we usually conclude the period of meditation. What they've just described here is the period of meditation. I ask God to direct my thinking, right? I ask Him to remove my defects of character, right? I think about the day. I think about my plans, right, etc. That in itself is a very simple form of meditation, right? Raising my heart and my mind to God, thinking about my plans for the day. And for some of us, our program of meditation and prayer is that simple, okay? I do my meditation, I'll tell you right now, in my car, okay? I have about 35 minutes from my door to my work, okay? I don't turn on the radio, okay? I sit there and I spend that time with God. And I look forward to that time, right? I look forward to my quiet time in the car, you know? And I'll be sitting there, I'll be talking to God, you know? And people will be like driving up next to me and they think I'm talking to myself. They're looking over like, you know, they think I'm crazy, you know? And that's okay, you know? I'm okay with that, right? But that is my quiet time with God. That is my period of meditation, right? And that has worked for me. So don't think you have to do all this, all that other stuff in order to understand and to have a program of meditation. If you want to do that stuff, that's great, okay? But for me, it's been that simple, okay? It goes on to say, we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful to never pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Okay, now, I don't know about you, but I couldn't easily see why. Okay, I had asked my sponsor why, you know. And he said, because this is in complete opposition to this new way of life we're trying to have. The whole idea is self is the problem. Selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my problem, right? I need to get out of self, not into self, right? I went, right, I get it now. It goes on to say, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also, another direction. If we are not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers. There's a great one in the 12 by 12 on page 99, the prayer of St. Francis, which is a great prayer, which I have used, okay? And I would turn there, but we're a little short on time, and I promise we'll get out of here on time, okay? But it is a tremendous prayer to use for your morning meditation, the idea of getting out of self rather than getting into self. Goes on to say, there are many helpful books also. Everybody underline that. There are many helpful books also. You know, I've heard some people say the only book we read in Alcoholics Anonymous is the book Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? That's not what our book just said, is it? Right? I mean, you could fill this room about 10 times with all the books that have been written on spirituality and God, right? And why am I going to limit myself and limit the power of God in my life by reading just this, right? Now, if you're new, this is a great place to start, and the foundation of my sobriety is found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? But I have built and developed a relationship with God based on other things. You know, the early members of our program read Emmett Fox. The early members of our program read a periodical called The Upper Room, which is still available in case you want. It's at upperroom.org. Great, great website. Has The Upper Room online. Before the Big Book was written, they would sit around and they would read at meetings The Upper Room. Okay, and it's a non-denominational publication, right? And that's all good stuff, right? As a matter of fact, if you go on Willie's website, here's a little pitch for Willie's website. I have a suggested reading list. Some of it's AA-approved literature, and some of it is stuff that influenced AA members that they read, okay, that is on the website, okay? That there's all sorts of great stuff that you can read about Alcoholics Anonymous and about the spiritual principles that we have found here. And you know what's interesting? Is the more of that stuff I read, the more I understand this, right? The more I read of that stuff, and the more stuff that, like, if you read books that Bill Wilson read, okay, like Drummond's Greatest Thing in the World and things like, you'll go, oh, that's where he got this idea of the third step from, right? And it's really, really quite interesting. It goes on to say, suggestions about these may be obtained by one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right, not wrong. Make use of what they have to offer, right? So, if I'm to make use of what they have to offer, that what does that mean? I don't know. Figure that out for yourself. All right. Sounds like a direction to me. Now, it's going to give me what I do through the day, right? As we go through the day, we pause. When agitated, that means angry, or doubtful, that means fearful. I pause when agitated or doubtful. That's a direction, right? And I'm here to tell you the difference between a reaction and a response is the pause. That's the difference, right? It says, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly, everybody circle that, it's the third time. Third time, we constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show. Now, why do I have to constantly remind myself I'm no longer running the show? Because I'm constantly trying to run the show. That's why, right? Why do I have to constantly admit I'm wrong? As my wife would tell you, because I'm constantly wrong, right? That's why. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficiently, for we do not tire so easily. We are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. I want to read you something real quickly, and then we'll end. This is one of my favorite portions of the 12 by 12 as it relates to prayer and meditation. And it kind of sums up what we've been talking about here today. Okay. It says there's a direct linkage between self-examination, step 4, meditation, step 11, and prayer, asking for the power to carry it out. It says, taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit, but when logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life, right? You see, I use my daily inventory or my 4-step to see what I did today and where I made mistakes. And I meditate, the 12 by 12 says, on a vision for tomorrow, how I can be better for tomorrow. And then I ask God for the power to carry it out, right? And I have tried to consistently do that through my sobriety, and little at a time. It doesn't happen all at once, okay? But little bit at a time. Okay, I can't see my hair growing either, but I have, over the years, gotten better and better and better at doing some of those things, right? And once I am out of the way, it says in the last paragraph on 88, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the same way we have just outlined. I'm undisciplined. And so I must continue to have some continuity by continuing to do these things on a daily basis. And once I am out of the way, guess what? I can turn my attention to what I believe is God's intended purpose for every single one of us, to help the next person, right? To carry that message and to share that message with the next sufferer. And we're going to spend an entire 2 hours next week talking about just that. Thanks.
Wait, aren't we not meeting next
week? Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you. We are not meeting next week because it is Mother's Day. So, for all you mothers, have a very happy Mother's Day. For all you fathers, remember the mothers next week. And my wife got a vote, and her vote outvoted my vote. So, we are not meeting next week. But we will finish up week after next with the 12th step, okay? And we're going to close in the usual manner.